When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I want to talk to you about Chaim. Chaim is head of Teretz Yisrael when?
On Monday.
So I want to talk to the guys for a few minutes.
You have the Gooey Brothers.
I want to talk to you guys. I want to talk to everybody here for a few minutes. I have it going. So I'd like to talk for a few minutes. Something about that.
It's on.
Something I'd like to talk to the Chevra about what it takes to be successful in life, a specific nekuda that will help every single guy here be successful. I'd like to share a piece of my own journey, speak about Chaim Gurian and what he brought here the last few months, and then we'll say it's Ace Michelle. Maybe Chaim will speak for a few minutes, sing for the Chevra. Allow me to share as follows, Danny. I happen to appreciate that when people do something, I like people well prepared for things. If you know anything about Chassidus, Hachana is very important, preparation. It's something I've always been into. If I run something, I like preparing and doing something well. That matters a lot to me. In sports, I'm into that. It bothers me when people don't have plans. What were you thinking in a speech, in anything you run? Preparation's very, very important. We have a mitzvah that could be a daraisa, some achloikas rishonim. There's a mitzvah called zimun. Zimun is before you bench, prepare. To be mezamein means to prepare. So a guy says, Chevra, nivarech, let's bench. I said, let's bench. Baruch she'achalnu. You don't just do something, get ready to do it. Be in the zone, be in the mode. I happen to like softball a lot. It makes me nuts when a guy doesn't know how many outs there are. I promise you, I'm not, it bothers me. I always know how many outs there are. Before the play, I know what base I'm throwing it to if it's hit to me. I watch guys play the game, and the guy gets the ball, and he's like firing it around. Before the play, it's second and third. Am I going home to hold the runner? Am I just getting the short out? I've decided before, Avi Block made one of the great plays in yeshiva history. He beforehand visualized the play. That's how he was able to do it. He said that to all of us. He made an incredible play at third through a strike home. He knew before what he was going to do. Whoa. I've watched unsuccessful athletes have no idea. And the ball's hitting. You could tell the guy has the ball and he's freaking. You didn't think this out before. By the way, in basketball, there are 2 minutes left. You're up six. And a guy fires up a shot in like 2 seconds. The clock was your friend. You're supposed to have a long possession now. I like knowing score, time, theory, plan. What will we think? And you think, and you tell yourself, you talk to yourself. Now, that's very important. In sports, this comes up a lot. It comes up in yeshiva functions and activities. You want to think and plan and have a plan. In all different areas of your life, people make simchas. It bothers me. What was your plan? What did you expect to happen? I'm very into planning things. Hachana. Every chassidus shiyid in the world of chassidus, preparation helps. Have a clue. Think through. Even your day, by the way, I like coming with a plan. What do I want to do that day? Who do I want to speak to? How is it going to look? Come with the plan. Think it through what you want it to happen. That's huge. Everything you do. You're running a Pesach Seder. I think about what's it going to look like? How is this going to work? What's the best case scenario? You think it through when you come with a plan. Successful living requires you have a plan. The Messiah Sisharim writes not to do a mitzvah, bepisim. You don't suddenly do a mitzvah. You sit down. What do I want to do? What am I about to do? The Chavetz Chaim once gathered his family and said, I'm going to share a secret with you. They were very excited. And his secret was, before each blessing in Shemana Esrei, say what you're about to do. Before you say Baruch Aleinu, tell yourself, I am now going to pray for parnasa for people. Then you say, he said the very saying of what you're going to do helps you focus. I'm going to pray now for the refuah for people. Refa'enu Hashem, please. You say what you're going to do, you're in the zone. You're like, you know what you're doing, what you're trying to do, what you're attempting, you're in the zone. So this type of preparation, the thought before you do something, what you're trying to do, what you want to do, is just like very, very important to me. I've seen it in sports. It shows up in every aspect of life. Prepare. And certainly successful living dictates to prepare. What's very, very important is adjusting when it's not the way you prepared it. Because all of life, Hashem throws curveballs, and it's not a schmooze against preparing. Step one is prepare. That actually helps you be present. When you're present, different things happen. And success in life is how good at you adjusting to what is. I want to say before I can, it's something I'm working on. I like things organized. I like a plan. I am starting to learn to let go. Let go. I'll give you an example. In the yeshiva, before Kabbalah Shabbos, it's always loud. I like quiet. I like decorum. I like when things are calm, focused. It was always very loud before Kabbalah Shabbos. My instinct is, stop it, get it a certain way. Kalish, sit back. Appreciate what is. Adjust what is. Happens to be one of the nicest things in the yeshiva is before Kabbalah Shabbos, guys greeting each other. It's stunning. That was created by the guys. Make space for what is. You can plan the best Seder in the world, and then other things happen. And adjusting to what is a huge key to life. Adjusting, a guy could have a friend. I know a Yid had big plans, what he wanted to be, and he had a family member who was very sick, and his entire life's mission had to change. He had a family member who was sick, and everything he thought he was going to do had to change. Come in with a plan and learn to adjust. You have a Pesach Seder, you want to run, and one of your kids is very hyper, is very upset, and everything has to change. A Rebbe in yeshiva, I want him to have a plan of how the day is going to look. But then the guys want to do something different that day to be present enough. If you're not present, by the way, in speaking, I promise I went to a shiur this Shabbos. Shabbos afternoon, I was speaking to a huge crowd. And I had a prepared shiur, as one should. You prepare. And I thought what I want to say, it was a lot of people Shabbos afternoon. I come to the shiur, and on the way, I just felt something different than I wanted to say. And I'm very into that. Be prepared, but then be present enough. That's not what I was feeling. And I just said a totally different speech because I was present to the situation. And the second thing of being successful is letting Hashem have a say and adjusting to what's in front of you. It's great you had a plan, but the success of your life is how much you can flow with what Hashem has in mind. Of course you plan. It's not speaking not to plan, but you're also present enough. There are people who have big plans, how their family, how their Shabbos table looks, and they should, but then they have a kid, they have to adjust. In coaching, I'm very into coaching in basketball. A good coach should have systems and all different things, but then he has to adjust. I have players and I have a situation and it might call for something unique. Can you adjust to what's in front of you? It's nice you had a whole plan and a whole thing. Can you adjust to what's in front of you? There's a story I'm going to tell. I usually tell the story once a year, Lag BaOmer time, but I want to adjust. I want to speak about Chaim Guri, what he blew me away. I would like to speak about it. And so I'm going to tell a story that I've told Lag BaOmer time. This story is one of my favorite all-time stories. I say it every year, and I'd like you to know this story. There was a Yid, Reb Shimon Ibn Levi was his name. Ibn is just the way the son of. Reb Shimon Ibn Levi. The Ibn Ezra is a Rishon, means he was the son of Ezra, Ibn. So Reb Shimon Ibn Levi means Reb Shimon, the son of Levi.
What year you said it to, by?
Did I?
For a certain chat.
Just a little plug for Yartzai Yadi there. Baruch Ata Adonai Elohim Melech Olam Shehakol Nehyeh Bidvaro.
Amen.
Reb Shimon Ibn Levi was a teacher of children his whole life. Listen to this story, Jacob. Reb Shimon Ibn Levi was a teacher of children his whole life. That's what he thought he was going to do, teach kids. He was good at it. He was an incredible teacher of kids. I want some guys here to teach children. I think they're the most important people in the world. I've gone around the shiur room here and asked. I have a first grade Rebbe who changed my life, Rabbi Moshe Mendel. He made a massive, one of the most impactful people in my life. He mattered to me. He cared about the things I cared about. We played football. He quartered for us and took it seriously. And he didn't joke. Today you have leagues, you have stuff. They didn't have that back then. He made serious games for us. I was like very into sports. He took it very seriously. Till today, he's a Yid who's a big tzaddik, a Talmud Chacham. He's a Talmud of Revolva. Because he took seriously what I cared about, I took seriously what he cared about in first grade. I stayed close to him through elementary school. In eighth grade, I was deciding yeshivas. He asked me to go to Staten Island for Shabbos. I went there to the yeshiva. I felt very close to him and very cared for because he cared the things we care. He's a beautiful person. Made a big impact. I want guys to be elementary rebbeim. I think they have an impact. Kids are very, very vulnerable. They're open to things. A positive Rebbe, you love a kid. You're into a kid. You charge him for life. The kid might not even actively remember, but the things of youth have massive impact. Could do a lot of damage. A kid's open. The kid's vulnerable. They don't know. They're not older. They're told something. It's like you could tell kid from things, and it's like kids trust. They're very open. You could do a lot of damage by being dishonest and not caring, and you could say a negative comment and it sticks. Kid for years could think things. You remember it years later, it stung, and you tell a positive compliment, the kid could walk around for life. It's powerful, the impact of the young grade. There's a very famous guy, I'm not saying this exact, and I'm honest, I don't remember it. There's a famous guy who did an experiment. He's a famous writer. He did an experiment, and he says that the hockey players in Canada, the best players in hockey in NHL, he studied it. They're born in the same 3 months, and mathematically, it's impossible. Like if you'd say 80%, 90 are born in the same 3 months, it was like an oddity, a statistical oddity, that all of the great hockey players in NHL, Canadians, were in the same 3 months. He was very bothered by this statistical, it's called an anomaly. Somebody look up the word anomaly.
Don't say word of the day, don't.
It's the word of the day, absolutely. An anomaly. Say the word. Yisrael, say the word.
Anomaly.
What does it mean?
What's an anomaly?
Something that happens.
It deviates what's perceived as normal. And they use words that you need words for the words. It deviates what's normal means that it veers from the norm. It was an anomaly, this weird statistic, that for some reason the NHL hockey players, Jacob, were born in the same 3 months to a statistic that made no sense. You've ever heard this study, Jacob? So this guy, Malcolm Gladwell, this is the guy's name, he was curious about this. What he ended up concluding is that in hockey, there was some league when the guys were 9, 10, and 11. And those three, if you were born in those months, you were the older guy in the league. Now, at 9 years old, the difference between the best and the worst is not a lot. When a kid's a little older, so he's just better, because 3 months makes a lot bigger difference than 3 months later. So he says in the league, these were the oldest guys in the league. And at young ages, my wife on her own is very into my kids. Three of my kids had a choice. We could have made them the youngest in the class or the oldest in the class. Without knowing Malcolm Gladwell's study, my wife was very strong. She wants them the oldest, not the youngest. Three of my kids were the oldest in their class. She said at young ages, a few months makes a big difference. If you're the youngest, you're the weakest at stuff. If you're the oldest, you're the best. She said it will give them confidence for life. Malcolm Gladwell said that those months, they were the oldest in the league. And at 9 years old, they were the strongest that helped. They're more likely to make the NHL. Incredible study. And he just showed, he did this study, and he showed that confidence. So the amount somebody could do when kids are young, just that they were more confident at 9 years old, helped them make the NHL. The bottom line is that I want some guys from here. Now, you have to be a big tzaddik, because people, even who want to go to education, want high school, because it's like the kids remember, and this high school has a coolness to it. You could be closer to the guys. The guys, you have a relationship. The younger grades, kids often forget, but the power of a younger Rebbe is huge. I hope some guys from here do it. And I think that you could do something in a community that's nuts. You're a third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh. I think it's glorious. I beg every guy here, whether you teach younger grades or not, if you have a Rebbe who impacted you in third grade, I beg you to call him and thank you. Thank him. Give him a bracha at your chasna. The more as a community we respect, and when your parents respect that Rebbe and show gratitude to the one who taught in second, third, fourth. As a community, if we don't improve it, we're not going to get the big guns. We need our best to be elementary Rebbeim. We need it. And we certainly don't pay a lot to elementary Rebbeim. At least as a community, hopefully it translates to paying better. At the very least, respecting more. I beg every guy here, we could start a revolution. I tell you my shul, Rai Ras can say Eidus, I can't speak about every guest who comes to the shul. It's not fair. I speak short on Shabbos. So I give a speech Shabbos. If there's ever a Rebbe from the elementary school, the principal, the speech gets put on hold. I just speak about them. I think as a community, I think we owe it. I think a community is dumb not to celebrate like nuts the elementary Rebbeim. We have a Rebbe in Waterbury who I think is one of the great Rebbeim in the world, Yechiel Shon. He played ball in our league. I think he's one of the great Rebbeim in the country. The guy could do anything in the world. He could do anything he wants. He chooses to teach kids. The impact is nuts. He's loving, he's caring. These kids are lucky, they'll have something for life, they're energized. The power of doing for youth is big. It's just very, very big, the power of being there for youth. I think what you could do at youth to undo it, if a kid has said a mean line, what happens at youth would take like 6 months to undo one line to a third grader. Kids are open, they're little, they're very sincere, they don't have walls up. A third grader marches into class, a Rebbe says something, you're like going to deep places. In 11th grade, a kid has many walls, it's hard to access that deep place. It would take many more months to get in there to what the kid in third grade is told. And if he's appreciated and celebrated, it goes into very deep places. Chas v'shalom, the negative, very, very dangerous. So this Reb Shimon Ibn Levi was a Rebbe of children, taught the youth. And he was a very, very good Rebbe of the youth. He did it many years, and he decides his dream was to one day retire. That was his dream. One day he wants to retire. If anybody knows about the Lubavitcher Rebbe, he was fire against the word retire. He called it waiting for death. Nobody retired in his world. Nobody. I hold this way. This is one of the reasons he's my Rebbe. The word retire is a dirty word. I have a friend whose father wanted to retire. My friend was their statistics. People retire, Rahman al-Islam, bad things happen. It's not, well, they're old, it's dangerous. Working's good for a person. There's no such thing in healthy people retiring. The Rebbe would make sure if a guy was finished doing one job, before he stopped, he was just moving to a different job. So if you're stopping to work, what koil are you going to? A friend of mine was always scared of his father stopping. His father was nifta shortly after. My family was scared. There's no healthy, like, if you're stopping one thing, your next thing, move to Kailo, great, you don't have to work, but you prepare. There's no vegetating, waiting for the Malach HaMavis. That's not a very good idea, waiting for the angel of death. A person is busy. Adam la'amal yulad, we were created to work. A person is busy. Reb Shibanim and Levi taught kids, and his dream, I shouldn't use the word retire, he did not want to sit in a hammock waiting for the Malach HaMavis. He actually wanted to learn Torah he loved Reb Shimon Bar Yochai. Reb Shimon Ibn Levi loved the Tana. He was an Achron. He loved the Tana, Reb Shimon Bar Yochai. He was very into Zayar, and he loved Kabbalah. And his dream was to move to the Kever, near the Kever. Where's Reb Shimon Bar Yochai buried?
Meiron,
bless your soul, Ezi. He wanted to move to Meiron and study Torah Sanester near Reb Shimon Bar Yochai's Kever. That was the dream of his life. So I won't call it Eli retiring because a Yid doesn't retire. Not a Talmud of the Rebbe. He was going to switch professions to go from being a Rebbe of children, Yassel, to go learn Torah Sanester in Meiron. This was the dream, Avi, of his life. He dreamt of this. Yeah, this was like... The bottom line is, late in his career, he's making the move. He set up everything, and he started on the trip, the journey. Difficult journey to head to Meiron. And he was in the last leg of the journey. He was in Tripoli. Tripoli is the capital of?
Libya.
Capital of Libya. So he was in Tripoli. And it was the last leg of his journey to head to Eretz Yisrael. He had gone through a crazy journey. Now he was going to settle there for a few weeks just to get strength for the last part of his trip to Eretz Yisrael. There were no planes back then. He's in Libya, and when he was there, they had no teacher of the children. So he said, hey, I could do this, and he taught the kids, and they lost their mind from him. He was the best Rebbe they ever had in Libya. So at the end of the 3 weeks, they say, Rav Shimon and Malevi, we beg you, give up your plans of going to Meiron, and please teach Torah. We need you. And he had the great moral dilemma, Jacob, he had the great moral dilemma of his life. Why did he leave his hometown to go to Meiron? He did not come to teach Torah in Tripoli. However, in Tripoli, they need him. And he was doing a great job, and he had the great challenge of his life. Now, anybody who knows Chassidus, there's a story with the Baal Shem. The Baal Shem had a guy who traveled who wanted to go to Mezibich to be with the Baal Shem for the Aseres Yimei Tshuva. And the guy traveled a crazy journey to get to the Baal Shem. And in the Shabbos before, he was in a town, the Shabbos before Rosh Hashanah, and he was the 10th man in the minyan in a town near Mezibich. The end of Shabbos, they begged him to stay for Rosh Hashanah. We have no minyan without you. And the Yid had the great moral dilemma. I traveled great distances to go to Mezibich, not to be the 10th man in this minyan. And he struggled and he said, I'm sorry, I didn't come here. I didn't travel this distance to be there. And he continued on to the Baal Shem, and the Baal Shem ignored him for 10 days. Before he left, he went to the Baal Shem and he said, I came to be with you. The Baal Shem said, Hashem created you to be the 10th man in that minyan. Now, it doesn't... The story doesn't mean, you know, what do you, that's a difficult story, but to me, the question of many of our lives, all of us have versions. I promise you, it's the story of all our lives. We all have a certain plan, and then we're asked to be the 10th man. We all have that. You run into the basement, you're running somewhere. 9 men, we need you. All our lives, Yisro, we all have that kid. We had a certain plan of our family, and then a kid shows up. We have certain dreams, and then it's the story of all our lives. And Rav Shimon ben Levi was big enough person that he spent the rest of his life teaching Torah in Tripoli. He never went to Meiron. And he was nifter in Tripoli and buried in Tripoli. Now, all of Klal Yisrael sings a eulogy for Rav Shimon bar Yochai. What's the eulogy? Some Yidden sing it every Friday night. What's Bar Yochai Nimshavda? That song that we sing, you know who composed that eulogy? Rav Shimon ibn Levi. Which I love it. His dream was to connect to his Rebbe, Rav Shimon bar Yochai. And he wasn't zeichet to because he understood to follow Hashem's plan, to be present. It's very nice you plan, but be present, be present. Plan and be present, be present. And he adjusted. Amazing, Donnie. It takes a lot of fortitude. I know you wanted it a certain way, but adjusted. I saw Donnie play in the fourth quarter. I saw Rav Shimon ibn Levi. Midas don't get turned on and off, Donnie. All of life is we think it's going to be a certain way and Hashem had a different plan. It's not against the preparation. And prepare again. And the preparation is not contradiction. I'm not saying two sides of the coin. I actually think people who plan are better at this. I think just be present. So the avodah before was to think it through. That's what a present person does. But then you could adjust because you're present. Be present, be present. Rav Shimon ibn Levi had such a great plan, but he didn't shut down. Something like spoke to him, and they're like, we need you here. Instead of saying, no, I decided, that was yesterday you decided, be present today. I know you decided yesterday. I traveled this far to get to Mezibit. Yeah, but they need a minion here now. Successful people adjust to now. They prepare, of course they prepare. And he did the whole journey to get to Mezibich. But now he's needed here to make dominion. And Rav Shimon ibn Levi spent the rest of his life in Tripoli. Chaim Guri has blown me away since I've known him. He is an incredible human being who's taught me a lot in his teaching. I speak about the revolution of self-awareness, of das atzmacha, of being emotional nuance for others. What I've seen in these months, Chaim's plan was to be in Eretz Yisrael. And all different circumstances brought him to America and to other places to be present. As it's very, anybody, the guys, most of the guys here don't have families yet. It's very difficult. You'll see one day, I remember when we lived in Eretz Yisrael, my wife and I, Ben Azmanims were hard. You had no like set place. You were in Gullis, you were traveling. And I loved my parents, my in-laws, but it was hard to make like a schedule, to have like a certain type of day. It's overwhelming, you're on the road. Chaim has done something incredible for months and been an impact. When he could be here, he was here. When he could be in Farakuhe and in Muncie. Chaim, in this gullus, what he's done, he helped for 2-3 weeks. When guys came back for the war, he made a yeshiva in Muncie. He came here for a month and a half and learned with guys here. Was in 5 towns and took care of his family there. Just what the adjustment. Our story as a people, we've been in Gullus for thousands of years. And the story of a people is we didn't know where we were going to be and adjusted. I spoke to one of our friends, Chaim, last night. You'll all see when you're older, so you sense that you're settled down. There's a certain sense that I have my job, I have my wife, I have my community, and you build a sense of security that I know the next many years. It's a pretend, but a human being, we don't know anything, but we build a pretend of a security. When your first year, second year, the early part of marriage, where am I living? I don't know. Like a guy in Kyle, what's going to be? I don't know. And there's something so pure and beautiful that I'm just really going to follow Hashem. I don't know. I don't know, and I'm willing to not know. Guys your age love knowing. Love knowing. I'm going here this year, here next year. It's funny. After 3 years in Eretz Yisrael, it gets hard. Typically, like a Waterbury 10th, 11th, I'm going to from out in 12th, and I'm going to Eretz Yisrael. After like 3-4 years, he's now done. What's now? I don't have a game book for this. Where am I going? What yeshiva? Learning to be present, to here, to now, to build something now, and learning to be present today. I'm not saying not to prepare. To be present to now is a huge success. to watch Chaim over these months in a situation that's difficult have this capacity. It's difficult. I'm presenting it. It's not neat. It's not easy. It doesn't mean success doesn't look it's an adjustment. I have tremendous respect for what Chaim has done. I say to everybody here, this is successful living. This is how to live successfully. We're in our people, we're in a very tumultuous time. Many wise people think Gog Magog is coming. Many, many big tzaddikim have said it. People who study psukim say 3 years of Dever comes before Gog Magog. That's what Svarim write. There's 3 years of plague and then Gog Magog comes. Is that COVID? I have no idea. All these things, none of us know. We don't know. We know that the world is, it's very tumultuous times. I've never seen anything like this in my life. Weird stuff are happening in the world. Things are kochin. I don't know towards what. Iran, America, Ukraine, Russia, things are like Hezbollah, things are like kochin. I don't say it to create
fear.
What's wrong? I don't say it to create fear, to cause fear mongerings in Issa Daraisa. I create it to share that things are tumultuous. We need to acquire healthy skills for living. The healthiest skills for living, prepare is good. Be present to the moments. Be present to the moments. You could be present to the moments in our life. Successful people adjust. You had all the plans in the world. Now adjust. See what is. I love in sports the coaches that make good halftime adjustments because there was the game plan before the game. You go into the locker room when you have 12 minutes. The great coaches historically adjust. They don't just keep doing what they planned for a whole week. The great coaches see something's happening a little different. The guard today is a little slow. He's not as fast. The matchup, the this, they just watch and they make like an adjustment, the greats. Successful living says be present to the situation and make adjustments. This is where I find myself. How can I be successful in this situation? All of us will need this in our lives. We're all going to be on the way to Meiron, and we're going to have to stop in Tripoli. The question is, are you going to have the fortitude to do it? When you're in Tripoli, to do it, it's very hard. It sounds like a cool story. Like a lot of Hasidic tales, the Baal Shem was saying something. You were born to make the minyan there is all our stories. Because you have to like be aware, be awake. The guy refused. He had a plan. He had a thought. He decided. I know you were planning. It was so good of you to decide to go to Mezovich. It was such a good plan. And it's such a tzidkus, and you'll get schar. But right now, you need to be the 10th man in this city. You can't leave a city without a 10th man for Hashanah Yom Kippur. So that's what you got to do. You'll see in your own life endless examples of this. It's a kiddush shemayim. When you see somebody ace it, Reb Shimon ben Levi, by us, it's Reb Chaim ibn
Shoshan.
Reb Chaim ibn Shoshan by us is a lesson in be present. Be present to this. This is the situation. Be present to the situation. So he had big plans, and Chaim could have pushed, and now he's going back to Eretz Yisrael. I'm so happy that the plan of living in Eretz Yisrael, going to Eretz Yisrael, that it's actualizing. It's the coolest thing, and the plan is great, and he should have tremendous, tremendous siyata d'shmaya in Eretz Yisrael. But the lesson you taught us of making the minyan, you certainly made the minyan right here in the time we were zeicha to have you. And the lesson of taking care of your family and being present to the situations is like, it's a lifelong lesson to us all. So thank you, Chaim, for that. Thank you. Everybody will see this in their lives. Please trust me. Please trust me. The story was like so magical. That Reb Shimon ibn Levi's story is so magical to me because I see me, I see you in the story. If a guy doesn't see himself in that story, that's all our stories. Like on the way to Meiron and the dreams and the hopes and shucks, all of a sudden he's a good Rebbe and they need him there. It's like, are you kidding me? It's so the story of all our lives. But only if you're present to your life. How many people leave the minion, leave the kids of Tripoli? But they dreamt, but they wanted, and they were like needed. Somebody, how many people had big dreams of impacting the world and their son was waiting there? Their son was the kids of Tripoli. You just, you weren't paying attention. You're not paying attention. So the dream and the preparation is great. The halftime adjustments, if you will, the asking what's happening now, what are we seeing, what's in front of us, that's like huge. I call it, Hootie's It Fair, the halftime adjustment, Marshall, because that's like what's on the ground. It's so nice you prepared, but now the game's on. What's happening? Those adjustments of now, to ask the questions, what's happening now, there are people that can't do it. They're stubborn, they prepared, they thought, and they just... too stubborn. It's interesting. It's like unfair, Mayor. You prepared for hours and hours and hours. Then in a 12-minute halftime, you have to have the courage to say, let's make a little tweak. The children of Tripoli are huge, dude. The children of Tripoli need us. It's like, Could you say something, Chaim, please?
Thank you for asking me to speak. No, I'm kidding. Yeah. I was thinking a lot on my drive up today. Sometimes when I think about things, I think about how I'm going to speak about it, but I never usually talk about it. Like, I'm thinking about what I'll speak about, but I don't actually speak about it. It's like a way of, like, concretizing my thoughts. But, I first want to say that being here, coming here after a very, very difficult journey, coming here, and it was... I cried a couple of times to Rabbi Kalish on the phone. It's been a very, very painful and powerful and incredible journey the past couple of months for me. And I think that it's very special to be around people. I'm a different age than, but I just feel like I'm part of this, you know, this grade, you know, this class, this year in yeshiva, to be around people that respect you, talk to you, love you. It's something that's very, very making friends. Like, friends that I never thought I would make. Like, it's just like it's a very, very heartwarming and powerful and very meaningful experience. And it's very sad for me to go. I'm, like, filled with excitement and joy, and I'm very sad at the same time. And what I was thinking about, and what I'm thinking about right now is that this yeshiva for me has been a place that I go to Tripoli, I get beaten up in Tripoli, and then I come back home, you know? I go somewhere, I do whatever this, you know, mission that God puts me on. I get beaten up, and I do a good job, but I get beaten up, and I come back home to bandage myself back up, to put all the pieces back up together. I know that for me, coming here, being around Rekela, Shrove Ras, Ravezi, my brother, my new brothers, and this yeshiva is something that I can always come back all bruised up and beaten up, and I just get taken with a big hug. I get bandaged up, I get given all the medicine, and I just get, like, revived back to life. It's a very, very, beautiful, and I finished 12th grade many, many years ago. Was that many years ago? I don't even know, maybe 7-8 years ago? I don't even know, but I come back often, and I come back here, and it's just like, thinking of, like, the Haluka, Mechabish, like, Herophilish, where they leave. That idea that I just come here and I come back all broken, and I have this yeshiva to, like, pick me back up. I come back all broken again, and the yeshiva comes back and picks me up, and I get sent off to the next place. It's been like that many times, and most times I came back, I was not expecting to come back, and I come back all battered up. The yeshiva takes care of me. The Kalish takes care of me. The guys take care of me. And an idea that I was thinking about is that there's this idea that the Shekhinah goes into Golos with Klal Yisrael, right? That there's this idea that the Shekhinah was present in the Beis HaMikdash, and now where is the Shekhinah? In Golos with us. The Shekhinah goes out into Golos with us. In the Golos, the Shekhinah is with us. And I was thinking about that. that the only way to tap into the Shekhinah is by creating a space for Golus, by creating a space for exile, for broken people, for people that are in Golus. And I think that yeshivas are meant to be a place that allow people's personal Golus to take place. It's a place that allows there to be people broken, people coming in with their journeys and, like, you know, coming in with, like, you know, like that long stick and, like, that, like, red thingy and, like, coming in, like, plopping down and, like, it's a place for Golus to be experienced and to be felt and to be dealt with and to feel the Shekhinah. Because the Shekhinah is only felt in Golus. And only a place that embraces Golus, that allows there to be the experience of brokenness, of being sent away from home, being taken out from a home of parents, you know, throwing you out of the home. Like the Beis HaMikdash was that, the house of Hashem, and we got taken out of the house. We got kicked out. Only a place that embraces that, that allows there to be an existence of people in Golus, can the Shekhinah be felt there. And I think that this yeshiva is a place that the Shekhinah is deeply felt. I don't know what the Shekhinah feels like. I think I have a feeling, but when I walk into this room, there's like this like feeling of Hashem is here. Hashem is here. I know that when I go to like a big Rebbe, I have the same feeling, similar feeling that I do when I walk into this place. Why is that? Because I think that people that allow there to be broken people, people that a yeshiva that embraces brokenness is a place that's actually a yeshiva. And I know for me, I've been very broken and battered up the past couple of months, and this yeshiva has been a place that's been a place of healing, a place of where I can just come, share, learn with some people, get the love, give love, just be loved and be seen and be heard. And it's something that's extremely, extremely Jewish. I think it's what happened by Har Sinai. We came out of Mitzrayim and then we got given the Torah. What do you think happened there? We got healed. We were being loved by Hashem. We were being kissed. We were told, "Mamlech v'hisem v'hisem v'hisagula." You are my people. I chose you. You are my people. Asher b'charbanu mikol amim. That feeling is the experience of what happens after Golus. And I think that that's what a yeshiva is meant to do, is meant to make me feel like I am the chosen one to a certain degree, that my life and my story matters no matter what stage in life. I'm a cool guy married with a kid and I'm coming back to my high school. Like, that's not a normal thing if you think about it. Like, most guys don't come back to their high school. They go, like, say hi to the rabbi and, like, the teacher, they, like, pranked a bunch of times to, like, say I'm sorry or, like, be like, remember that time where... And, like, you walk back home and, like, oh, I went to, like, my high school, my alma mater, you know? And, like, you don't go back, but come back here to home, to yeshiva. There's no grades here. There's nothing like that. And I think it's a very, very powerful thing. It's something that's extremely real. It's Torah. It's real. It's real. And I was thinking of this other thing, which is very related, is that the Torah was given specifically to people that were coming out of Mitzrayim. And why is that? So there's this idea of Torah Hashem Tamima, Machkimas Pasi. That the Torah of Hashem is wholesome, it's perfect, and it makes wise the foolish one, right? It makes wise the foolish one. So I heard from some people this idea that the Torah could only make you wise if you're foolish. Only if I know that I'm broken. Only if I know that I am broken without this atmosphere, that I don't have, without this a yeshiva that's loving, that lives the values of what the Torah speaks about, which is what Vekela, Shrabai Rus, the Rebbeim here do, I don't have a chance in this world. You know, without that, the life and the sustenance and the chashivas that I got in my life from being next to Rabbi Kalish, being next to Rabbi Ross, being in this yeshiva, I'm not going to make it out there. And that's not a bad thing. It's not like, oh, you wouldn't have made it without Waterbury? You need like a place like Waterbury the rest of your life? Yes, I'm a human. I need people to care about me and respect me because I'm a Yid. And Yidin need Torah, and that's what Torah is. And that's what's needed. People that are broken are the best kalim for Torah. There's this idea that Rabbi Yochanan, when he saw Reish Lakish, he said, Chel Chalei Raisa. Why do you say to Reish Lakish that your chelik is in Torah? Because Reish Lakish was the most broken. Reish Lakish was like a thief, head gangster. He's like the biggest broken one. And the biggest broken ones are the greatest kalim for Torah. That the ones that are the most broken, the ones that are acknowledged, his name was Reish Lakish, like he knew what he was about. His name was the head gangster, you know? And that is the keli, the vessel, the perfect thing that is what contains the light of the Torah. And I know that for me, and what I learned in this yeshiva is that it's not that like I'll be broken and then like I'll go to yeshiva in Israel and then I'll, you know, pretend that this never happened. It's specifically because I acknowledged my brokenness. It's specifically because I know that I dealt with so many things. It's specifically because I'm broken that I'm shayach to this. Because that's what the Torah is. It brings me light, and that's something that I got from this place. That's something that I got from my Rebbeim, from my Rebbe. It's something that my heart is broken, and I come back home to fill up my heart, because there's no better place to be with a broken heart than in your yeshiva, in your home. And I just want to thank Rebbe and Rabbi Russ for being the people that just, I'm broken, I'm like all battered up, and you just bring me back home. Just bring me back home. Give me water, give me some, you know, put me on an IV, like just give me like what I need to just go back out there and fight the war, you know? And I think it's something that I carry with me always. It's something that I want to pass on to anyone that I see. It's something that I feel bad when people don't have. It's something that I want the world to have. It's something that I just, it's something that drives me, is that I want to give people and I want to give myself and my family and the world what I got from here. Deep respect, a deep love, an okayness of brokenness. And I'm so grateful that there's no limit to it. There's no limit. It's a nar she'ino poisek. It's just the Torah that exists in this place doesn't stop. The shir goes on, and then the shir doesn't stop after Musar Seder's over. Dave and Buster's shir is still going on there. You know, it just doesn't end. The love, the healing just doesn't stop. And I'm just extremely grateful for Rebbe, for Rabbi Russ, for my Rebbeim that gave me so much to lean on, so much to comfort myself with, so much to be able to, when I'm in really hard spots. I went through a really hard situation, being in Gullis. It's just not easy. I have people that I can call, and people that I can call even if they don't answer the phone. Sometimes I'll call Rebbe, I'll call Rabbi Kalish, just because if I call him, I'll know what he'll say, you know? Like, if I call him, it's like, okay, but he would have said something like this. And it's like the phone call worked, you know? Like, I'm just like, it's like a prayer. And also, I know what, I've sat here for many, many hours listening with all my heart. Sometimes not with all my heart, and that's also okay. But listening, and I know that when I'm in a tough situation, I'll call Rabbi Kalish. And whether there's an answering of a phone call or not, my question usually gets answered, because I know what my Rebbe would say. And it's a very, very powerful experience, and I'm just so grateful for this yeshiva holding me, for Rebbe holding me, for Russ holding me, in my some of my most vulnerable stages in life. It's like an extremely vulnerable stage as a father and a husband to like have no idea what I'm doing with my life, and like just being taken in, come home. And I'm just really grateful, Rebbe. Thank you so much.
I had this feeling the Chebra wants the Archaim and Shloime together before.
Thank you.
Mezi's tiny a shtick all good, and how we let Chaim and Shlachayev leave without singing Yidden.
Oh, gosh. I just, I'm just showing my
quality. Okay, but you guys have to sing along also. Then.
Yeah.
Or not. You start.
The new one.
We're having a hard time singing right now.
Every has a Neshames of Yedeh, oh Yedeh. So holy, so pure, so precious, Neshames of Yedeh, Neshames of Yedeh. Mach of the Kribbis, Zayda Benimis, Yedeh Yedeh Ota Neshama. Of the Kribbis and say the Benimis, Yede Yed Hata Neshama, Yede, the Heilig Vishan Yitae Neshames Van Yeden, Neshames Van Yeden, Neshames ben
Yitzchak Shalom and Akiva come up.
Let's go.
Thank you.
Song, I'm gonna be bawling. Yes.
Yeah. Never hear anything about it again. Never hear anything about it again.